Would you please kneel with me as we pray as far as possible? Father in heaven, we're just so grateful that we can be here today and worship you for who you are. You are an amazing God, and we just want to praise you this morning for your amazing love and just for who you are, and that we can be here in this church and worship you. Just thank you for all that you do for us, and just thank you for this church. Thank you for the ministries of this church. I want to pray that you would bless our church as the group that's going to Guatemala, and lift them up to you, and not only this church, but other churches also, and also for the projects, the Great Controversy Project. I want to pray even now for the people that are going to be reached and touched through this endeavor, and just pray that you will bless our efforts. I want to thank you for the children of this church. It's nice to see all the children here, and just thank you for them. Thank you for for all the blessings that you bestow upon us. I want to lift up in a special way Amanda this morning as she shares from her heart, and pray that you will bless her and open our ears and hearts to the message that she would want us to know. And also, Father, I pray that you would, that as we gather here this morning, I pray that we would all recommit our lives to you and just ask that you work in a special way in our lives, that we can reach out to those around us and just share your love to our neighbors and our community, and just lift you up to those around us. We just thank you for the privilege of worshiping you and just knowing you. Just thank you for your presence with us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
So it's not in your bulletins, but Michaela was going to play her violin for us this morning. So we'll set this where it needs to be. Can you stand? How are you gonna play? Put your violin out. How are you gonna play? So I can listen.
Summer, I didn't know that I was going to be following that act. Michaela, that was amazing. Thank you. Scripture today is going to actually be 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 9 through 11. I'm going to be reading from the Message version. God didn't set us up for an angry rejection, but for salvation by our Master, Jesus Christ. He died for us, a death that triggered life. Whether we're awake with the living or asleep with the dead, we're alive with Him. So speak encouraging words to one another. Build up hope so that you'll all be together in this. No one left out, no one left behind. I know you're already doing this. Just keep on doing it.
Happy Sabbath. Whoa, sorry. Some of these kids that are here playing and stuff were infants when I was here. It's awesome. Keep it up. All right, so some of you guys know me, obviously. I grew up here in Brewster. I'm a Golden and now a Stulp, so done with Dan and Angie and Tom and Judy, of course. And just wanted to share a little bit about my trip this summer. But before I start, I want to go ahead and have a prayer with you. Dear Father in Heaven, thank you for this time that we can meet today on your Sabbath day. Thank you for the work you are doing and the lives of your people all over the world. Send your Holy Spirit to be with us today and help me to speak your words, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So this summer I had an opportunity to go on a trip with Mara Vision Outreach. Summer and I were talking about it. I'm like, you know who about this place, about this project. But anyway, I just want to give you guys a little bit of information about what Mara Vision is before I tell you about my trip, because it does make a little more sense that way. So in 2013, Anita Jepson, who's a friend of Summer's as well, she is a member of our church in Chewila now, the church I attend in Chewila, Washington. She went on a mission trip to the Maasai Mara in Kenya. And she had no plans of ever doing anything else necessarily mission-wise. That just was her project. She went on a trip, and it was fun. And she met Peter. So this is a picture of Peter and his family in 2013 when she met him. He was a translator on their trip, and he had questions about the Bible. He was a Christian, but he had questions because he thought about the Sabbath reading himself, and he had questions, and she had some answers, so they sat down and would discuss every chance they had an opportunity about the Sabbath. And he was eager to learn, and everything he learned he wanted to treat to share. In Maasai culture, Maasais don't listen to other tribes. They don't, if you have a religious or any topic that you want to discuss with them, they aren't going to listen to you unless you're Maasai or a white person. So Anita was the right person to talk to Peter because he was willing to listen to her and hear what she had to say. Let's see if my slide will change here. So Peter shared what he learned any way he could. After Anita had gone home, he would go to village, home to home, and he would pray before he would go. And he would go and try to talk to people. They didn't really want to listen either, so he tried different things. He would buy a sack of sugar, and he'd go to the house and offer it to the lady of the house and sit down with the man and discuss the cattle that they have or the drought or whatever. And after they got to know each other and they would visit, then they were willing to listen and hear what he had to say that he'd been learning from the Bible. And as he did more and more work, he wanted to do things like bigger crusades and bigger, like, meetings to get togethers and stuff, and he couldn't really fund it. So he asked for help, and Anita would send him some money so that he can continue his witnessing there in Kenya. So that's how it started. But what is Mara Vision doing now? Because it's continued. It's been a it's a nonprofit organization that she started. Mara Vision continues to work to spread the Three Angels message in Kenya by building churches and supporting congregations without church buildings. sponsoring pastors and Bible teachers on the Maasai Mara as well as in Samburu, Kenya. They sponsor a women's sheep program, paying for one full-time shepherd, and they also fund and operate one church school, as well as providing church or uniforms for those kids and other kids in different schools as well that are needy. And they also are working on building a training center and support the members as they're growing in their faith by planning and supporting camp meetings. So MaraVision has 13 pastors that they fund, and they have 14 Bible workers. Their Bible student ratio is huge. It's like 3,000. I'll tell you a little bit more about that later. But that's 250 students per one teacher. And they have one secretary in Kenya that they fund as well, and a shepherd for their sheep. They have 75 acres that they've purchased for this future training center. And then they have 5 church buildings as well as 17 congregations without buildings and the one school that actually meets in a church as well. So this is one of the churches that was being built. This was in 2014. It's a Losakon Church Foundation, and then this is later the building. This church got really large. There was 400 members attending this church, and so they made 2 separate churches. I actually got to go visit the second church, never went to a Losakon, but they had a tree church that was started, and it's now actually a building, but when I was there, it was not. They've been meeting at the tree for 3 years, and that just because their congregation got so big. And this is just a smaller church, but helping support the churches and Sabbath school groups is really important. These people meet in the hot sun. You think shade, but that's not really shade most of the time. This picture is nice shade, actually, but they don't have a good place to meet during the rainy season either. It's pouring rain, and they want to meet, but there's mud everywhere. So MaraVision helps supply PA equipment, helps arrange with Maranatha to come in and help build churches, as well as building their own as well. And they also support them with providing them with pastors. So there are, like I said, 13 pastors and 14 Bible teachers. And this is a picture of some of the pastors and teachers, as well as the elders in the Maasai group. MaraVision provides all of their workers with Bibles in book form as well as in God pods. God pods are solar charge devices that they can bring anywhere, and it's in their own language. And so the Maasai, they don't have Bibles, they don't have any way of reading, and they aren't even able to read. So when they can hear the truth, many of the churches, the people that have been attending Sunday churches are going, wait a minute, and learning about the Sabbath and really excited. So the Bibles are a treasure, and these faithful workers are sharing them with people who don't have them. And they go from church group to church group and meet throughout the week, various places throughout the week as well, teaching and preaching. So this is Peter. It's a few years later, but Peter is now a pastor, Peter Rumpus, and Isaac is another pastor. They both are MaraVision outreach employees. Peter is the coordinator, and Isaac is the director. I got to meet these guys there. So they're both fully funded by MaraVision. There's only 3 members of MaraVision that are actually in the United States. All of the rest of the funds that come through for MaraVision, they all go to Kenya, and they're used by their workers there. So it's really good program. It's like, I know what feeding, if you give them, teach a man to fish type of thing. I don't know the phrase, but anyway, very well. But anyway, so this is Anita with some of the members of the Central Rift Valley Conference. So the conferences and unions have been in support of MaraVision from the start. They've always wanted to talk to the Maasai, but they won't listen. They're not from the same tribes, and they have not wanted to hear anything from our conferences about the Sabbath. So this was their very first foot in the door ever, pretty much, in the Maasai culture. I mean, there's a little bit here and there, maybe, but not to the extent that it has been with this project. It's been amazing. So they are very, very supportive. They encourage them also to work with the Samburu, which they started actually doing in 2015. They have 4 full-time pastors in the Samburu area. And all of the teachers and pastors are now funded and paid through the conference. That was actually after camp meeting this last year, they started doing that. And it's just a better way for them to track the funds and have the pastors and teachers give them a report as to what they're doing with their funds, so they're not just sending money to Africa. So this was pretty awesome. In 2013, Mara Vision was asked by the owner of Mara Hills Academy to have some Bible workers come and work at his school. So the community was known for being drunkards. And after the Bible worker came to their school and their community, they were changed. They had hope and a new, they just totally stopped drinking. And the government of their county was so excited and impressed that they came to camp meeting in 2014 and said, bring us teachers to our schools, all of them. So they have Adventist teachers in every school in the area by our churches. So they're teaching Sabbath class or Bible classes. They teach them about the Sabbath in their government schools. It's pretty awesome thing. They also go once a week, the teachers on Friday, or the schools send the students actually to the churches to do the same thing, to learn about Sabbath and church, just Bible teachings. The textbooks that these Bible workers are using are the Bible and the Great Controversy. And like I said, there's over 3,000 Bible students. That's a lot of kids to one teacher, 250 of them. These people are very interested in knowing the truth. Some of the schools in Kenya. So this is actually the Mara Vision School. It's actually a church. It's the Osoro Church Building. This school started in 2016 with only 15 students. The admission was free, it still is, and the kids range from ages 4 to 8, so there's a younger school. But within a few months of opening, the enrollment increased from 15 to 53. And then, as word got out, there's now 170 students at this time, and there's waiting lists for this school. So on Sabbath, this is just a building where everybody meets, just cleared out, nothing in it. But during the week, they separated into classrooms with wooden dividers, and they just have their classes, each of their classes. The teachers gather every morning together for 2 hours before classes, from 4:30 to 6:30, to pray for their students. And their principal states that he contributes that to the huge success the school has had. They've not just grown in a huge amount of numbers of kids, but they've also, the last 2 years, they've gotten the highest award on the whole Mara for their academic achievements. They've gotten the biggest awards. The first year that they went and they got these awards, they did really good and everything. And then the second year they went, the testers said, well, okay. So they put the kids with older kids to see if they did better or worse or what would happen. These kids still did better than the other kids. And so they managed to, with the more difficult exam, still get the highest award. So this is a fully funded Mara Vision school. Operated, they employ the teachers, they provide the books, the supplies, the uniforms, everything for the school. And these kids are praying for a new school someday, an actual building that's theirs. So life on the Mara, this is how the Widow Sheep program kind of started. Life on the Mara is really not very easy, especially for women and children. Women gather wood, they build their houses out of mud and sticks. They gather everything that they need, water every day. They wash their clothes. That's just a few of the things that they are doing every single day. And the children, most of them don't have an opportunity to go to school. They do have schools, and children do go to school, but most of them are the family shepherds. They're out every day looking for pasture land for their family flock. So I found it interesting when I went home after, because I told everybody in Kenya, I have goats, and they're like, oh, wow, you have goats. It's like a very deep connection because they thought that was very cool. But when I came home, I was communicating back and forth with them still and let them know that two of our goats got killed by cougars. And they were just devastated. But the very first thing they worried about was my kids. And I was like, what? Oh, yeah, their kids would have been out with those goats. My kids weren't, but they're very concerned because that's what their children are up against. Every day they're out there on their own. They learn survival tactics of, you know, how to stay downwind of the terrible animals out there. But other than that, they're out on their own every day. So life is hard, like I said, on the Mara for everybody. But it becomes even harder when fathers or the husbands of the family, who's their family protector, when he dies. In Maasai culture, women are not allowed to remarry. So when a husband dies, they're a widow forever. And many men continue, and in their culture still marry up to 4 to 5 wives. Up into their 70s, they're still marrying and taking new wives. Brothers can take these wives and care for them afterward, after they die, but they have enough of their own to take care of. So they, most of these widows are on their own, and they don't have any way to support their family that they have left. So they're very devastated. So Mara Vision, did I skip a slide? Nope, I just didn't scroll down, sorry. So in 2011, Mara Vision started purchasing just a few sheep here and there and distributing them at camp meeting to the widows to try to help them acquire some kind of something that they could use for income. So the ministry expanded in 2016. Another member of our church, Darlene, she's in the white thing over her shoulder or whatever, Darlene Thompson, she got to go to Kenya, and she was like all about trying to help these widows. And so she started raising a bunch of money and trying to get other people interested and excited to help raise money for this. And so they now have quite a flock of sheep, and like I said, they have a shepherd that they employ to care for these sheep. And the Mara Vision will donate a sheep to a widow, and then they're asked that the firstborn female sheep be donated to another widow. So it just keeps going. So these little flocks they're hoping will provide for their families and help provide money for them so that hopefully they won't marry off their daughters at such a young age. These, in their culture already, girls are getting married at 9 and 10 and having multiple kids by the age of 15. But if you have no money, you're going to marry them off even sooner because you don't have an option. And so that to give them some kind of an income provides at least a possibility of less likely that they'll marry their daughters quite so soon. And also give them the opportunity to maybe take them to school and give them even further opportunities. So the Maasai and Samburu are baby Christians. Their numbers have grown since Anita's first Bible study with Peter from 1 to 5,000. And they're eager to know more, but they need pastors with training. And so the Mara Vision Training Center that they're planning to build on the 75 acres that they purchased is what they need right now. They need a training center. So far, little by little, they've been working on the project, and they have so far 2 small buildings, 2 toilets, 2 showers, and a small kitchen. And when it's finished, it will be lodging enough for people to come and train, as well as like the mission groups from the United States to come and minister to the Kenyans as well. So this is a picture of the core Mara Vision group as Isaac and Amy and Anita and Isaac and Elizabeth. And there's 2 Americans there, obviously. The rest are Kenyans. Elizabeth is the secretary from our vision, and Amy is the United States secretary, basically. So camp meetings are just, they love to have camp meetings, and their culture really likes to get together and encourage each other. And Mara Vision has helped them with getting them just the whole, it's a big deal to try to get that many people together in one spot. And so just the dynamics of it or whatever, and funding it. They work hard to help them. So last summer, I had an opportunity to go to Kenya, and I want to thank you guys here. I did ask for support, and some people were able to help me with that, and your prayers were, of course, also awesome to have. Appreciate those very much. Our purpose of our trip was to support the camp meeting of the fellow believers in the Maasai and Samburu tribes, spend time with them, and encourage them, just like it says to do in Thessalonians, to encourage each other and build them up. So I was able to work with the children there at the children's program. That was a lot of fun. When we first landed in Kenya, the first few days that we spent at East Kenyan Union Conference headquarters in Nairobi, Kenya. And we were able to meet Hope Channel at Kenya and different people there. Hope Channel Kenya is amazing, amazing people. They are just awesome, trying to support their fellow Kenyans in just amazing ways. But one thing that they do is they broadcast to try to reach the Muslims in their area, because there's a lot of Muslims in Kenya, in Nairobi especially. And they got death threats from the Muslims. Just stop. Don't put those on your air anymore. And they didn't listen. So this picture up here is actually where they tried to break into the top of their building and kill them. The building that they're in is inside of a compound that's a locked compound with guards, and outside is the police. So it's like they really wanted to kill these guys. Pretty sad. But the this Hope Channel is just amazing, the things that they've done over there. They went with us as to the Mara, and they also went with us in while we were still in Nairobi. We were invited. Taj Pekleb was our main speaker that Anita invited to the meetings that we had in 2018, rather. He was there in 2016 as well, and he's planning to go again in 2020. But when we were there, we were invited by the University of Nairobi Medical School to come and speak to the students there. There's a lot of Adventists that are at that school, at that university. It's pretty awesome to meet. These are all Adventist doctors to be. That's pretty awesome. So we got to hang out with them, and the song, and I thank you guys for singing it with me, but that song was really one of the first ones that, like, you hear Kenyans sing a song, or a whole group of Kenyans sing a song, it's just like the coolest thing ever. That they sing it completely a cappella. When we first got there, there was like 8 people in there in the building, and they started singing. And it sounded like an entire choir. It was just absolutely gorgeous. But they couldn't sing it completely a cappella. They start out with the chorister telling you. They sing a little bit, and then they stop, and then they say, sing. And then everybody joins in. And the very first time I heard it, I think, you know, these are teenagers. They just don't want to sing. No, they want to sing. They just have to sing together. It was pretty awesome. So we drove 8 hours to where we were going for the camp meeting from Nairobi to the Mara, about 150 miles, and this is just some pictures. The last couple miles were dirt roads. I did not expect to see combines or this much wheat in Kenya, but it was pretty cool that some of our people on our trip were from the Philippines, and a lot of them were from Hawaii that came on our trip. And a lot of them had never seen wheat, so they're out in the field getting pictures of the wheat. It was pretty funny. So there was corn harvest as well, so there's people out working with their corn. So this is where we arrived. The black arrow is where we stayed. The red's actually where camp meeting was. How can you guys see the arrows? And then the green is my attempt at a tree, because that was a tree church. So we were down in the Maasai area, and along the, in the, what is it called? The reserve, Maasai National Reserve. And we stayed at Almara Tented Camp. Pretty nice place to stay. This is actually a picture of our last day, because I didn't have another group picture, but there was 25 in our group. Big group to take to Kenya. But there's 25 of us from, like I said, Hawaii, the Philippines, all over. And this is a picture of our them sending us off. It's the cooks and everybody else that worked at Malmara, as well as some pastors that came to say goodbye, and Hope Channel that drove back to Nairobi with us. So Anita encouraged everybody on the team to read the book Christian Service before we went on our trip. And I really like this quote. God could have reached his object in saving sinners without our aid, but in order for us to develop a character like Christ's, we must share in his work. In order to enter into his joy, the joy of seeking souls redeemed by his sacrifice, we must participate in his labors. It's awesome. So we have, it was a great opportunity to go there. And you know that all the time, right? We all know we got to get out there and do stuff. But going to Kenya and seeing the eagerness of these people, I mean, they were like, you need to send more missionaries. I'm going, no, you need to send you guys to the United States. You're way more than, you're doing a much better job than we are. It's contagious over there. Pretty awesome. So this was a church that we went to our first Sabbath, the one that came from they've been meeting for 3 years under the tree there. And then we were part of the Ilosakon church before. We got to go to their church. And like I said, when I went to Kenya, and I've heard in the past, you know, tree church, oh, it's a nice place to meet in the shade. It's not warm. It's not that way at all. It's not even any shade. It was hot. But it was very, very neat to meet with these people. They shared everything they had, including their chairs. They wouldn't even sit in them. This is them singing praises to God and greeting us. That was their greetings. So kids there. Thalen, my son, is actually wearing my shuka that I was given at this church service. We were all given one so that we could be truly Maasai. Just getting together. This is kind of cool. I don't remember his name. I wish I did. But he was one of the pastors from the conference. And now they're able to go out on the Mara. And that's really awesome for them because they haven't really had an opportunity to go out and see these Maasai and talk to them. So before we left, we were at this church service from 9 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. And at the end of our service, church service, they asked us to come out and pray and dedicate their church building. It was just boards, basically, but that was their start of a church. It was right close to where their tree was. And this was a picture that was sent to us after we came home a few months later, after some funds had gone and helped them finish that church. So this is their first Sabbath celebrating in their new building. So on Sunday morning, the first week, the first day I was there, first week I was there, we got to go from home to home and invite everybody in the newer vicinity to camp meeting. It was pretty cool. Just walk into somebody's yard and say, hey, come to camp meeting with us. And if they didn't, well, we'll have a prayer together and we'll go on our way. But we invited everybody to come, and it was pretty cool to be able to go around and see how they live. This is actually a area that was being built, a little village-ish place. They're building it. They were trying to, they made it close to the encampment where we were staying for the tourists, because that's their livelihood, is their livestock and tourism. So they were trying to find a place to sell closer. Homes out there. That was actually a really nice house. This was walking to this next house. One of the guys in our group, he met Anita when he was just a little shepherd boy, and he's now very strong Christian, goes to college. And this is his family's sheep. And this is the Mara Vision property. We got to have lunch there that day. It's kind of hard to tell what it looks like, but the trees there, that's where the river goes through the property, and there's actually buildings off that direction that they started building. And when we were there at the property, we had some warriors, Maasai warriors from they call them Minyatas. They're a huge village, and they came to show us their culture and dance for us and show us all their stuff. All their dances have meanings. They're all stories and everything else. It's pretty neat. And then after they came to see us, we went to their village. So this is going into their village. The picture there, everybody going through the thing. So this is inside their homes. So the cattle have to go in at night, the babies, the young ones have to go inside. They have their own room. It's bigger than the people's room. And then there's the bed. And this is their window. They're like this big. Because if they're any bigger, a wild animal can break in and kill them. So they don't have very big windows. And these are only lit up at all because of their shadow. I had a flash because they were, I had no idea what I was taking a picture of until you took the flash on. Because it's pitch black in there and the roof's to soot covered because there's a stove in the middle of the floor. And that's where they cook and that's where they hang out. And if it's pouring rain, which it was when we were there, you just stay inside in the dark. It's pretty dark. So it was muddy on Monday morning when we headed to camp meeting. But there were people coming and showing up with bedrolls and everything else for the whole week. They were ready to go. And so this is a couple, they have multiple choir. Every church has a choir, and they shared through the whole week. These are some of the ladies in the choirs, and there are gentlemen sing, of course, too. But they just love to sing praises to God. So I had, like I said, an opportunity to work with the kids. So Amy's speaking here with Maxwell. Maxwell is one of the translators. He actually is a sponsored college student through Mara Vision, and he walked to meet us at the tree church on Sabbath. He started at 3 in the morning to get to where we were because he lives a long, long ways away. He said he had to wait a couple times because there were elephants and he didn't want to get killed. So he did get to church, though, and we got to spend the whole week with them. With him, he stayed and helped us translate, as well as Elizabeth, who's the secretary, Mara Vision secretary. These kids were great to work with and very excited to be there every day. So this is actually a picture from after camp meeting, but the felts that we got to bring, we got to donate to the school, the only school that we have, and this is them using them in their school. We brought songs with us and sang with them, and they love to sing. They're way better than us, but they love to learn our new songs and our motions. That was pretty cool. So we divided them up. The older kids went with one group of people, and then the little ones came with us, and they'd hear a story, and then they'd switch back, and they'd hear the Bible story with the older kids. These are the little kids hearing the story. Actually, this boy, and Amy asked the kids this is what we're going to talk about tomorrow. We're going to talk about Joseph in this section of the Bible. Go home and read it, and I want 3 of you to come up front and tell us the story. And the other kids voted on who did the best and remembered the story the best because they all went home and read. And they got a great controversy. The person that won a great controversy, and they were excited about that. So this boy, second day, he actually, school opened. I left notes for myself a little further over, but school opened while we were at camp meeting. Camp meeting was actually at school, at a school, government school. And the dates of the government's opening school changed after Mara Vision had already decided when they were going to have camp meeting because they'd always been the same time, and they changed them. So all these kids, when school opened, they went to camp meeting. And this boy came the second day, I think it was, and he's like, I know the story. I'll do it today. I want the book. So he got up, and he told the whole story of Joseph. So they gave him a prize, but he didn't win the book, but he did get a book. He didn't get the same one. But he didn't tell the story we asked exactly, so the kids decided that wasn't right. But he was brave to get up and tell the story. So these are the kids studying. And this is what the inside of the school was like, and this is where the people actually stayed out of the rain, because it rained every night we were there. It poured rain every night, but we had beautiful blue skies for the day. This is Elizabeth and her, this is actually her brother's daughter that she's raising all of her brother's children, because he and his wife both passed away. And so her and her mother are raising the kids. Mud everywhere. I had to show you how muddy it was. So this, every day, our group of 25, we went back to Olmara camp and had meals provided for us there, and clean water and all that kind of stuff. We stayed nice and dry at our camp every night. And this was us actually leaving for lunch, and this is the Kenyans having their lunch, getting ready to. They all eat outside together. It's pretty awesome. And this is my tent that I got to stay in with 3 other ladies, and the food we ate. It was a very good food. Kenyans eat beans and rice for every meal. It's really good if you can. I liked it, but some people got tired of beans and rice for every meal. So every day that we went back and forth from camp meeting, we got to see the wildlife. I never actually went on a true safari, but I got to see the wildlife every day anyway. So I'll scroll through these. It was the wildebeest migration, so we saw a lot of wildebeest. And monkeys. So Anita and, or not Anita, Amy and I had planned for 300 kids. We didn't know how many we'd have, so we overplanned, which was better than under, but we did have over 100 every day at least, sometimes 150 or closer to 200, but we had a lot of kids. And so on Friday, we brought out a craft that we had prepared that you could do with nothing, just hand in the supplies and they put it together. There was no, like, extra stuff. And these kids had a lot of fun making them. Very difficult to go through a translator and teach kids how to make something, though, in a short time period. So not all the kids had an opportunity to make them. We actually had the ladies up here saw us making them and said, "Hey, what are you doing?" And they all got around, and we had, like, a whole gob of them help us finish them up so that we could hand them out to all the kids. So that was pretty awesome because we actually got to give them all the kids one bag. So they all got one. So one of the Chewila church members, a lady in her 80s, Yoshiko, I know that she knows who she is. She started sewing purses for the kids, the needy kids, for their uniforms to sell them and raise money. And different church members decided that was a really good idea to try to work on this project. So they, before we went to Kenya, we had a big yard sale from our church, and we raised, with the donations and other things involved, about $3,000. And so the kids got up front at camp meeting and made us all get up there, of course, too, and thank us all. So this is my thank you from Kenya for school uniforms. Almost everything I'm wearing was a gift from everybody wants to give you a gift. There was three separate baptisms of different groups of people at the end of camp meeting. A total of 38 people were baptized, and a new church group was started just at the school. They meet there all the time. The person that's actually walking into the water there is the principal. He was the first to be baptized. He was the one that said, "Absolutely, the kids are coming to camp meeting because that's where I want them." So he was very excited that they were all going to be there. Muddy, muddy water. So there have been baptisms since we've left. This is the group. This is actually at the same place. We had camp meeting at Laura Rock, and this is the group. There's 100 people meeting there every week and multiple times during the week. They come in the rain and the dark and meet together. They're having Bible studies to have future baptisms, and there's 100 people that meet there. That's just the adults. So just before I had to go home, I wanted to go home too, but but it was fun to be there. I was over there just over 2 weeks. Before we got to go, I got to go on a different kind of safari. Some people actually did go on a safari, but I decided not to. I wanted to go on this other trip, and I never did see a lion, never saw a hippo or a lot of the other things you hear about in Kenya, but I was able to go on a different kind of trip, which was awesome to me. Get to see the culture a lot more. This place is actually Barbara Perkins, I think. Perkins, maybe? That's how you say her name. She's from Australia, and Kenyan children are not allowed to be adopted out of country, and so she goes to Kenya and lives there and adopts and takes care of kids. She's had up to 20 children in her home, from infants to this is her son making chapatis. She says she don't know how to make chapatis. He can do it. But anyway, she supports kids any way she can. She supports over 100 kids with funds for schools, and she has different people that she helps. So it's just another group or amazing opportunity in Kenya that's just awesome to see. And then driving to this area that we went to visit her, this was in Kauai. We went to go see Kauai. It was kind of funny because we had some Hawaiians with us, and they're like, "Kauai, we're going to Kauai." And it actually looked like Kauai in a few places. It was very pretty. They had some flowers. I don't have pictures in here, but there was some really pretty flowers. Got to walk with the zebras there. Or not the zebras, giraffes. So this is Peter's home. We went to Peter's home, and we're greeted very well. Glad we didn't go a lot of places because they feed you everywhere you go. So I've heard if you eat like 6 meals a day, if you go to enough houses, but they feed you very well. We actually went with this gentleman here is an Adventist now too, but he's the manager at the place we camped. So we actually had the entire camp at a low price for our group, which was pretty awesome, as we were all there. Huge, took up the whole camp. But anyway, when we went to this home, it was pretty neat to see them there. The children all come up. Oops, I guess it's on that side. They all come up and want to be blessed, so you put your hand on their head and bless them. It's pretty special. And they asked us to bless their homes. And this was actually, you can see the necklace in her, on her there. She gave it to me after I left, or as I was leaving. That's Cynthia, Peter's sister-in-law. And this is some of Peter's children. He is a very proud man, proud to be a daddy of a lot of kids. I honestly don't know how many kids. He has close to 12, and he has one wife, and he is so proud that he has one wife and that many kids. He has like three sets of twins. He's just, there were babies right then. She had two, like, they're like five-month-old babies, a twin boy and girl, then when we were visiting. He's very happy, Papa. So this is when we got to, when we were leaving Omara camp. The cooks, we invited the staff to join us for everything. We had worship every night. We'd invite them to join us, and most of them did. We'd even be like, come on, let's help you do the dishes so we can get you to come. And they went to camp weaving with us. And I see some of you are reading it, but it's pretty cool what they wrote on here. It says, thank God for bright pictures which he has presented to us. Group together. Oh, let us group together, blessed assurance of his love. And they, like, did a whole, like, cultural clap and party for us to say goodbye to us. It was pretty awesome. They have a cake cutting song. I didn't know we don't have one of those here. But I look forward to seeing all of them in heaven someday. There's a lot of awesome souls that work at that place. So I never got to go to Samburu, but I got to meet a lot of the Samburu members at camp meeting. And Samburu is a long ways. We were down here where the Mara is, down here at the arrow, and then Samburu is clear up there. Samburu is a lot different. The culture there, they're cousins of the Maasai, that they are very much more hostile. If you go to the Mara Vision teachers that have gone to the Maasai, they go from village to village. They're offered tea the very first time they go. They go to village to village, and they're beaten with sticks on their way out. They don't want them. They don't like them. They're very much into their old culture. Many of the people are still going around naked. They don't have clothes. They don't bother. They believe in, you know, there's a lot of demon possession. There's just a different, totally different place. Not that it's not everywhere, but that's, you know. But God's working very powerfully there. And Pastor Gideon, here in the white here, he started working there with Mara Vision. And when he started there, it was not easy. He moved to the area that he was going to work, and nobody would talk to him. And he would go in his room and pray every day, and still nobody would talk and nobody would talk. And one day he went to a home, and there was a woman in the home. She had a broken leg. Her husband had gotten drunk and beat her until her leg broke. And she'd been in the house for like 3-4 days and hadn't eaten, hadn't taken care of herself. She was a mess and hurting, of course. So he picked her up, and he said she stunk really bad. But he picked her up, and he put her on his motorbike, and he took her to the nearest hospital. And he gave him everything he had. He had $1.50 cash. Hit $1.50, paid her bill, and had a little bit more money wired to him. It's a lot cheaper there, obviously. But he paid like $7 total to help take care of her. But he was also her caregiver, because in Kenya, your family comes and takes care of you when you're in hospital. They do all of your care, and she couldn't do anything. So he took care of her. He cleaned her up. He stayed with her. And she started calling him her God. Well, this was his opportunity to tell her about the true God and his first opening that he had, because he hadn't had anybody want to listen to him. But she was more than willing to tell people. And so he has had a lot of influence with the people that he's been able to reach through this lady, among other people. But this is Peter, the Kenyan Peter. I mean, the Samburu Peter. There's a Kenyan Peter, or a Maasai Peter as well. But anyway, Peter and his brothers, I don't know their names, but he was once a drunkard who beat people with sticks as well, but he was baptized and his whole entire family with him. And they actually ended up coming to camp meeting with us. Sunday pastors in Samburu told everybody, all the people around that they could tell, that Gideon had brought a Samburu demon a Maasai demon to Samburu. And don't listen to him. He's a demon. He's brought a demon. Well, they didn't listen, obviously, and some people were baptized. And when he took them to camp meeting, they told him that the same pastors told people, they're not going to return. They're going to be sacrificed alive in Maasai land. They're not coming. They're not coming back. So didn't deter these guys. They traveled three days in this bus to camp meeting. And there wasn't any room for them when they got there, so they slept in their seats the whole week. But they loved it there. Peter's the one there with the feather on his hat. They came and sang with us too, sang and shared their songs. But they all returned back home safely. And of course, everybody wanted to come and see what happened to you, really, because you weren't sacrificed. What happened? So they've had opportunities to tell people like crazy. And they've had baptisms, quite a few of them. Since camp meeting, they've had 78 baptisms. So they're in Samburu. As hard as it's been to reach these people, they have 150 people baptized because of what Maravision has done there. So Nita has worked, like I said, with Maranatha to try to build churches in the areas in Kenya. And this is a church that was built by Maranatha in October of 2018. They've built four, and this is one of them. These four pastors that are working in Samburu are very excited to spread the good news there and continue to work. This is actually a Sunday church that learned about the Sabbath, and the entire church is now a Seventh-day Adventist church. This is one of the many tree churches in Samburu that was started by Pastor Gideon. And this is a picture of Gideon, Pastor Gideon. He goes anywhere and everywhere he can to share God with others. And he's here at a prison sharing and trying to give them hope. So, not all can go as missionaries to foreign lands, but all can be home missionaries in their families and neighborhoods. So we all have opportunities in our workplaces, in our day-to-day life. Just everywhere we go, we can share God. Like Gideon did, he did it through example, Jesus' example of just caring for people around him. Or we can buy a bag of sugar and share it and get to know our friends and neighbors and just share it any way we can. Seeds that we sow will grow. So remember, Maravision started with one Bible study. It's very amazing what God can do. And I'm looking forward to meeting all these friends of mine in Kenya in heaven someday. And see where the seeds they have sown. The people there in heaven that they have sown seeds for, that's going to be awesome. I look forward to all of us being able to share in that. And let's go ahead and sing our closing song on Jordan's Banks.
All right, please stand as we sing our closing song.
Heaven, thank you so much for what you are doing in your people's lives. Be with us this Sabbath day as we go from here and help us to remember to share with those around us. Be your lights to the world. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.